Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You heard the gentleman, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next hour talking everything Big Blue as the Giants get ready for preseason game number 3 on Saturday night against the Jets. That's right, at MetLife. And what does that mean? Game 3 against the Jets. They're playing for the MetLife Snoopy Trophy.
Yes, they are, Anita. And I certainly hope the weather's going to be a lot better on Saturday than it is right now. It is pouring here outside the Giants complex and lightning and all kinds of nasty stuff coming down. But the good news is that training camp officially ended yesterday, and so we won't have a bunch of fans coming out here trying to watch the Giants practice. Yesterday was the final day for the public to view Giants training camp, and so today, when the Giants are forced to move practice inside, it would only affect us, as we have to go inside the field house to watch them work out. The fans will not be disappointed.
All right, so kind of break it down for the listeners out there. Again, you can join us on the show at 201-939-4513. You want to get in, now's the time to do so. Also, a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Giants. Any questions or comments about the show, please include that hashtag GiantsChat. And we will share them on the show. We will respond to your questions. We will comment on your comments. Again, as the Giants get ready for preseason game number 3, a lot of people hoping that they see a little bit more fire in the belly. Hosted the MSG show with Mike Crispino and Sean O'Hara last night. You can tune into that show, mind you, on MSG Plus, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And I posed that question to Sean. Sean, what are you looking forward to most of preseason game number 3? And he said, a little bit more intensity, a little bit more excitement. They kind of looked a little lethargic in preseason game number 2, Paul.
Well, it was worse in number 1. It got a little bit better in number 2, but he's absolutely right, Anita. You know, you get your starters to play the most they're going to play in the preseason in week number 3. Tom Coughlin has yet to tell us exactly how many snaps he wants his guys to get, but you can bet they'll play at least a half, and some will go into the third quarter. And I think it's about time that these guys show a little more gusto because, I think they've been a bit methodical, as we say. And you know what? I don't know. Is that because they've kind of been lulled into a malaise by the fact that, you know, training camp is just so wishy-washy? Maybe it is. I mean, look, the other day, Harry Carson came into the lunchroom. We had a chance to see him for a second. And he was laughing about how, you know, training camp, it's not like when I was there and two-a-days and all that other stuff and a lot of hitting going on. I don't know. I appreciate the whole safety thing, but I just think things are too watered down. And it does lend itself to teams not being very sharp. But we will see.
You know, I find it interesting, you know, granted, the Giants having training camp here in New Jersey as opposed to Albany in regard to the conditions and what's offered here. The fact that, yeah, you know what, it is raining today, so practice isn't canceled. They're not doing a walkthrough in some gym. They're actually going into the field house and they're actually able to practice. So there's a ton of pros about the Giants not having training camp in Albany and having it here. But at the same time, one thing that I'm hearing from some of the players is the camaraderie isn't the same, you know, in regard to like staying in the dorms like they did in Albany and a few players sharing that common space and hanging out, going to dinner, playing video games. I don't call it team chemistry because this team has really good team chemistry, but just the camaraderie, I think is not the same as when a group of men head out and spend 4 weeks at a different location in the conditions that were offered there. I think that kind of suffered.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Tom Coughlin took the team bowling last week, because he wanted to get a bonding experience together for these guys to try to enhance that part of the game. Whether or not, you know, it worked, I mean, it was only a night, one night of bowling, okay, great. The guys seem to really like it, but in terms of a long-term effect, you're 100% correct. I mean, when these guys are sequestered up in Albany for 3.5 weeks, they're sitting around a lot and they're doing a lot of video game stuff and they're playing cards and they're doing all kinds of other things on a nightly basis. It's not like here where, you know, coach was able to just cherry pick a night and say, okay, this is going to be a team night. So yes, there's clearly a difference there. Now, 2 years ago, it did not make a difference. The Giants practiced here during training camp because of the work stoppage and won the Super Bowl. So is it necessary to go away? I don't know that it is. Are there differences? Absolutely. Having said all that, we're going to go outside and watch practice in the field house today.
Again, 201-939-4513, the number for you to get in on the show. The big story today, and it's kind of like, I feel like it's Groundhog Day because we talked about this yesterday, and that is the offensive line. Because as yesterday we were talking about the switches that took place, center David Boss out with an MCL injury to his knee. Looks like it might be 6 weeks. Hopefully he'll get back sooner than that. No surgery needed, but intense rehab. So they shuffled the offensive line yesterday when we got off the show, Paul, where they put Kevin Booth at center and moved David Deal to guard, and Justin Pugh at that point in time was your starting right tackle. Well, we're out 1140 players available to the media. We're talking to the media, and all of a sudden the news broke that David Deal now has to go under the knife, surgery on his hand. He has an issue with his capsule in one of his hands, which obviously, if you know anything about offensive linemen, and they have to use their hands. So they'd rather have the surgery now, get it over with, get him healthy as the season progresses. So yet again, yesterday around noon, another shuffle with the offensive line. What does that mean? Jim Cordo, who actually performed quite well in preseason game number two, goes back at center. You've got Booth moving over to guard, to left guard. Justin Pugh stays at the right tackle position. So yet now, again, the offensive line has been shuffled around. Major concerns, Paul?
Well, not really for me, Anita, because the way the line is now constructed is the way that we had discussed yesterday morning, and I thought it was the easier way for Tom Coughlin to go the first time. So I don't have a problem with this particular configuration. In fact, on the basis of what Cordell did against the Colts, I mean, he's the third-year pro out of Ohio State. He came out of a good program. He's not a nobody, even though he was an undrafted free agent 3 years ago. He's had some experience in this league before. The Giants have won some games with him playing before. So I don't think this is devastating. And quite frankly, if David Boss is out for a couple of weeks and doesn't come back till the Dallas game, fine. If he comes back a game or two in, I still think that's okay. About the only difference that you're really going to see, because I think Cordell is a competent NFL center, is that Cordell himself admits he needs some help from Booth and from Snee when he comes up to the line of scrimmage making some of those line calls. He doesn't make them all by himself. He does get some help from the two veterans alongside of him. That's the biggest difference that you're going to find between Jim Cordell and David Boss. Now, Boss, of course, is making a whole lot more money, but I think, to be quite honest with you, he's just been a good, solid NFL center. He has not been a Pro Bowl caliber center. And therefore, the drop-off is not as dramatic as some people might think.
Paul Zatino, Anita Marks, and as I said, you, 201-939-4513, a full bank of calls. So, Paul, let's rock and roll. We kick it off in Oklahoma with Champ. Champ, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, obviously not awesome.
My question is, I have a couple of concerns.
I just let your mom know.
MetLife Stadium, right here on the campus, yes, sir.
Champ, thank you for the phone call. A few things I do want to react to your call. Number one, yeah, back in the heyday, the Giants were known to have some of the most amazing, talented linebackers. LT, obviously, leading that pack. But as of late, Paul, I mean, listen, again, you've been covering this team for over 30 years. I've been here for four. I just, ever since I've been here, the defense, the face, the backbone of this defense has not been about the linebackers the past 4 years. And this defense still has done well. I think when it comes to Perry Fuel and his system, and we've talked about this before, number one is the defensive line. This defensive line, I had a chance to talk to Sean Big Baby Rogers yesterday, interviewed him for the MSG show, and he has come on board. He's gone on the record to say that the Giants have the best defensive line in all of the NFL. That's first and foremost when it comes to Perry Fuel's defense. Number two, it's the secondary.
No problem.
You want to attack the quarterback, make him uncomfortable, disrupt the passing game with your defensive line, and you want ball hawks like Antrell Roll and Stevie Brown and Corey Webster and Prince Amukamura back there trying to intercept footballs. So I'm looking at this defense, and not to say that I'm not dissing the linebacking position, but I feel that this defense can do well with an average linebacking core in the NFL. I really do believe that, and so I don't think Giants fans should get all their panties in a bunch because this linebacking core doesn't have big name linebackers or outstanding linebackers that are part of this team.
Hello.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
I agree with you. Obviously, the Giants are very much interested in athleticism and speed and getting guys as quickly to the ball as they can. You use the extra secondary guys and your nickels and your dimes and your sub packages to get those results. The standard two down, three down, plotting, big box guard type, physical, strong, plugging kind of linebacker, a.k.a. Harry Carson from years ago, is not really commonplace in the NFL these days, especially not in certain systems like the one that Perry Fuel likes to run. I mean, we saw him, put Paisinger and Williams on the field at the same time during the first couple of preseason games. Those are your two most athletic, most slender linebackers on the team.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's the way the trend is going because this isn't your father's NFL, folks.
I know.
You know, it's a passing game.
What was the other? He made another point that I wanted to touch on. What was his second point that he made before we let him talk?
Well, he was talking about the pressure of the Super Bowl being here.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was another thing. In talking to a lot of the players, and Paul, curious if this is the response you're getting as well, and that is, it's not added pressure, it's added motivation. You heard Corey Webster say a few weeks ago, look, it will eat me up to know that there's another NFC team who's in our locker room getting ready to play at our stadium in the Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. Jerry Reese went so far to put in a clock in that locker room, a countdown clock to Super Bowl for extra motivation. I'm not getting the sense that it's extra, what was the word that he used?
Motivation or pressure?
I'm not looking at it as pressure. I'm looking at it as motivation in talking to a lot of these guys. Are you sensing pressure or motivation?
I don't sense any extra pressure at all. And I think if there is any motivation, it's kind of only a little because I think these guys were pretty ticked off about not making the playoffs last year. And I think that was the first thing that entered their minds when they approached the 2013 season. Not necessarily MetLife Stadium. But the fact hey, this was a proud franchise, came off a Super Bowl, and then didn't make the playoffs. I think that's what really gets them going.
All right, let's go to James in Maryland. James wants to talk about Hakeem Nicks. James, welcome.
Hello, James. How are you?
James, you there? Great.
How many teams do you think are ready right now to open the season? Seriously.
Thanks for the call.
You know, I thought the other night Hakeem looked like he was probably running at about 90%. He wasn't quite letting it out. Of course, it was a preseason game. He did wind up catching two 20-yard passes against the Colts. These weren't little 5-yard dinks and dunks now. He did get downfield. But I would agree he did not look like the electric, dynamic, big play Hakeem Nicks that we're used to seeing. And perhaps that's just because it is preseason and he knows he doesn't have to fire off all the jets until they play the Cowboys.
I'm not. Everybody's worried about Hakeem Nicks, and I get it. I understand did not participate in OTAs. Had the tweak groin when camp opened. And what you've seen so far in preseason really hasn't been a lot. But, Paul, I'm not worried. In fact, I've participated in at least 30 fantasy football mock drafts, and Hakeem Nicks, believe it or not, he is falling. I'm grabbing him in the fourth, sometimes fifth round. Victor Cruz is typically going two or three, but just to kind of give you an idea out there, the mentality, the view of Hakeem Nicks, a lot of people just feel that he's just going to have a bum year. I think a lot of people are going to be in for a huge surprise. This man is in a contract year. This guy is up to make some big-time dough. He's just taking it easy. He's cruising right now. As soon as the season starts, the amount of weapons and tools that are on this offense, defenses are not going to be able to cheat. That safety is not going to be able to slide over and double-team Hakeem Nicks. The world is his oyster. And go ahead. People, keep on doubting him. Don't draft him in fantasy football leagues. Leave him for me because, because seriously, Paul, I think Hakeem Nicks is going to have a monster. I think he's going to have, he's going to have a career year. I'm looking at over 1,000 yards, and I think we've talked about this before, over under 9 touchdowns. I say over. I say 9 or 10 touchdowns this season. That's the kind of season I think Hakeem Nicks is going to have.
I wish that a lot of these folks who doubt him could see him every day like we do and could talk to him. He's a very humble guy, not flamboyant, not flashy, doesn't look for the cameras, doesn't look for the headlines, is not all about me. Hakeem Nicks is just a nice guy who goes out there, does his job, puts his pants on, puts his shoes on, and goes home. You know, he's not your typical NFL superstar wide receiver now who wants to see the spotlight all the time. And maybe that's part of the reason why people are doubting him. Obviously, the injury history is a big part of it too. But I'm with you, Anita. He is not a look-at-me guy, and he's going to have that kind of year. I could not agree more.
201-939-4513. We continue with Yusi calling in from New York City, line 4. Yusi, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I was wondering how come the Giants have switched to 5-2 defense, being they have more interior lines now than ever before?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised occasionally in short yardage if they actually tried something like that. I really wouldn't be, because Perry Fuel is a guy who's not afraid to try something different. He's not a cookie cutter kind of defensive coordinator. He'll mix a few things in there that are very unexpected, and I could see him throwing a 5-2 out in a particular situation, just trying to get the offense thinking about something weird, and for that matter, getting some more beef up front. I mean, the Giants do have what we believe to be, as Sean Rogers told Anita, certainly one of the better defensive lines in terms of depth in the NFL.
Yeah, but the reason I'm saying this is because of Sterling Jenkins. It's a really good and strong defensive lineman. So you could use him at the end also. So with Jason Pierre-Paul and Justin Fuchs, you have three rushers right there, and you can make the quarterback that brought that back with Tom Rodgers or Hendrick, or just pushing the quarterback, or even the Kimball Joseph.
Well, it is true that Colin Jenkins has played quite a bit outside here during the last couple of weeks of camp, and so I'm sure that you will see some of that during the regular season.
201-939-4513. Paul, any latest on JPP? Have you heard anything in regard to his back? Is regular season game one against the Dallas Cowboys a reality or no? What are you hearing?
They're still holding out hope, Anita. I saw him yesterday, spoke to him briefly. He's moving around very, very well. They're pleased with his progress. Now, again, as is the case with any of these significant medical issues, it's like, well, they think everything's going to be fine, but that's all predicated on a constant upswing. Anytime a guy takes a step back in a medical rehab, it sets back his schedule significantly. And so to this point, everything is all systems go for JPP. He's green lighting all the way, but the Giants aren't going to jump the gun and say, okay, he's going to be ready for week one yet, because there is still a couple of weeks to go, in the preseason. And what if all of a sudden tomorrow or the next day he wakes up and his back is sore and okay, now they got to shut him down for a week or two. They're going to be cautiously optimistic that he's got a shot for Dallas. Again, if he misses a game or two, I don't think I'd cry about it. I think it's more important that he gets as close to 100% as possible before he gets out onto the field.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to Dre in New Jersey. Dre, welcome.
Hi.
Dre, you there?
How you doing, Anita and Paul?
Hey.
I'm good. Just listening on to your radio station. I have a couple questions. Pretty much, I've seen the offense in the preseason. I've seen the defense. I mean, I know you're not showing too much until preseason, but I'm not too worried about the offense. From what I've seen on defense, all three levels have me concerned, especially the linebacker. Having seen the flashy. I know also they don't show too much.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about the D-line, and part of what the Giants need to fix, in addition to the pass rush, which got rather sporadic last year for a variety of reasons, but primarily health, is that that run defense needs to be fortified. But remember, the run defense is not just on the D-line. Yes, the Giants have fortified the defensive tackle spot because that's where it starts. But it's really about those backers. Now, you said earlier in your call the backers have been kind of, you know, nondescript. Well, you're right. I mean, none of these backers has stepped up and taken this thing by the throat and said, look, I'm going to be a dominant force in this defense. Jaquan Williams would like to be, and maybe he's on his way to doing so. We talked yesterday about how hard he's working on the side to try to be that type of player for this defense. But to this point, none of the linebackers have shown that particular capability. Now, as Anita also said, they may not have to be superstars for this defense to work. God knows they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago without it.
Well, also, I mean, let's talk about Dan Connor for a second. And by the way, we want to remind you, Giants Training Camp Live every night, Monday through Friday, on the MSG Network, MSG Plus, actually 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I have an interview with Adrian Tracy that's going to air tonight, as well as an interview with Dan Connor. And because obviously the linebacking battle that's going on is very front and center. And I think a decision will be made in regard to who the middle linebacker, who the Mike is going to be after this game against the Jets. You're going to see a lot of playing time. I think Dan Connor is going to start. Mark Herzlitz is going to come in and get some reps with the first team as well. And game on. I think whoever has the better game, whoever impresses the most, I think will be the Mike backer for this football team. But Paul, talk about how difficult it is for Dan Connor to come to a new organization where Herzlitz's been here, what, is this a second or third year?
Third year.
Herzlitz's been here 3 years. He knows the system. He knows Perry Field's system extremely well. Dan Connor's coming in, and I mean, how impressive is that to you? It is to me that he's come in, learned this entirely new system, and is still able to outperform Herzlitz at this point. That's very admirable.
Well, I think you got to remember something. Dan Connor is a Penn State guy. And what do they say about Penn State? Linebacker U. That is a place where
they used to say that about the U.
Well, now they say a lot of other things.
It used to be the quarterback U. It used to be the tight end U. It used to be the running back U, the linebacker U.
Right.
Anyway. Took a walk down memory lane.
Back
to our conversation.
Bottom line is, Penn State still to this day continues to produce smart, heady, very high quality linebackers. For example, Sean Lee of the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, the guy who Connor backed up back there in big old Texas. Sean Lee just got a big contract extension.
Was that an accent? Did you try
it? I tried it. I don't think it worked too well.
No, not a Jersey guy like you. Sorry. Did not work, Paul.
But Lee just got a big contract extension yesterday. And he's just the latest in the line of terrific Penn State linebackers. Connor fits that mold. He's a heady guy. One of the reasons the Giants signed him. was because they understood that, hey, if Chase Blackburn is finished here, we need somebody who we can trust, somebody who's going to understand our concepts, and somebody who's going to line people up in the right spots. They get the fact that Dan Connor is not Superman in terms of his physical attributes. But when they signed him more for his smarts and his intelligence. And so I don't know that it's that surprising that he's been able to hold his own and, in fact, take a lead on Herzman.
201-939-4513. The calls keep on coming in. We love it. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome.
No. No. You said yesterday, I think one of the guys you threw out there and said, okay, it'd be fine if we didn't have Cooper Taylor and we didn't have DeMontre Moore. I wanted to move up and get a better offensive lineman. I think that was the comment that you made. And I told you you were wrong. And I'm going to say it to you again. You're going to be very sorry that you disrespected DeMontre Moore. This third round pick is good. Real good.
Yeah, why? I don't understand. Why is he not?
Well, he's got that bruised shoulder right now,
okay.
And so for whatever reason, the trainers have decided to keep him out. My understanding was that they are keeping him out. Yeah. It's not like he said, I can't practice. They've shut him down.
Yeah, this DeMontre Moore kid is, with all due respect, kid, is tremendous. I mean, Giants fans need to understand, like, this defensive line has sick potential. Paul.
Moore's a beast.
Listen, look, when we sit here, and I know that it's somewhat of a game for a lot of people to sit there and say, okay, well, you watch Hard Knocks, by the way?
I didn't see the latest one, no.
Oh, jeez. Paul, get with the program. You know, where you've got to start making cuts, okay?
Tuesday, by the way, down to 75.
Right, right. And when it gets down to cutting the defensive line talent that's on this team... Let me tell you something. The other 31 teams around the NFL are going to be paying close attention because there are guys that are on this roster that are playing, whether it's defensive end or defensive tackle, that can be studs and starters on another team's roster. That's how deep they are at the defensive line position. That, to me, Paul, I know we're talking – the big talk has been wide receiver. Who's going to be the number five wide receiver? Yada, yada, yada. To me, I think the most difficult position to break down, to cut this season, is going to be the defensive line.
Well, I mean, look at some of the guys on the back of that depth chart right now. Adewale Ajomo, who is very intriguing to us as a pass rusher. Look, if the Giants cut him, and I hope he lands on the practice squad if that happens. But if they cut him, somebody else is going to give him a chance. They'd be crazy not to. What about Mike Patterson? We just talked to him yesterday out on the patio. This guy's been around the league for several years, always been a good run stuffer. Right now, he's been running with the third team defense at defensive tackle, but he's a quality player. And I know for a fact he will get picked up if the Giants cut him too. He said the Detroit Lions were like the first team to call him after the Eagles allowed him to walk away, but he wanted to come here because he thought this was a better fit. But, you know, he got calls. There are people who want him. And yet he's running third team with the Giants right now. You know, you're right. There are people looking at this Giants D-line, and they're like, okay, I got my shopping list together. Let's see what they're going to let go.
Yeah, absolutely. 201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to Kevin in New Jersey. Kevin, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys.
Great. Thank you.
It is my impression from talking to him throughout the course of last season, after his tremendous preseason, he thought that he was not only going to make the team, but that he would get some chances in the regular rotation. But the Giants had Jose Manura, they had JPP, they had Justin Tuck, they had a bunch of guys ahead of him who were taking those snaps. And even though they were not performing at a very high level and they were banged up, the Giants trusted those veterans, thinking that, hey, whatever they've got to give us, even if they're 75 or 80%, we've got to go with that because of their resumes. They're tried, they're true, they're experienced. We'll take our chances and hope that they can give us enough as opposed to taking a chance by throwing the young guy in there. And so it's my belief that Ajomo got very down and very, I don't want to use the word lethargic. That's not a good word for it. But he was very disappointed. No question about it. He really, really wanted to get into some games last year. And I think that kind of affected his attitude and his spark at practice and his whole mentality. You know, some guys will take that as an insult almost and get real fired up, and it will work in the reverse direction. And they'll just be like hog wild crazy out there and basically force the coach to take notice because he's running at 150 miles an hour. There are other guys, and Ajomo's not the only one on this team who this has happened to, where they tend to withdraw when they get disappointed. And they don't think that things are going that well for them. And they kind of need a pick-me-up. And I think that's what's happened to him. Because if you watch him during the spring and the summer, during practice, he's just out there. You know, he's going through the motions and he's trying to make plays, but you don't see that extra fire in his belly. You don't see him doing anything spectacular. I mean, look, how many times, Anita, every day Giants.com puts the five best plays from practice on a highlight reel and throws it up on the website? Has anybody seen an Adewale Ajomo play all summer long?
No.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you.
But watch, he's going to have like he's going to have two sacks against Geno Smith on Saturday night, and Giants fans are going to go crazy.
Yeah, that could look. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. He goes against some third-string linemen, and he beats him for a sack.
Well, Paul, we talk about practice. We talk about practice.
Yeah, okay? Alan.
Not a game.
Alan.
Not a game. We talk about practice.
I got the answer sitting here with me today.
You haven't seen it. Right?
Which, by the way, for whatever reason, Allen Iverson was trending on Twitter yesterday.
He retired.
That's why. So he was new to the world, and and so have you ever seen his high school video?
Yes.
He was.
You mean his football video?
His football.
It's sick.
High school video.
It's sick.
It's amazing.
Yes.
He played against Michael Vick, like because they're from the same area down there in Virginia, and so they were at rival high schools. Allen Iverson put Michael Vick to shame. To shame. Treat yourself, folks. If you have a minute today or over the weekend, just go to YouTube. Google Allen Iverson High School Football. And sit back, pop a beer, and enjoy yourself. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason in Montana. Jason, welcome. Great.
The kickoff, could I have your location? Hey, Jake, just stay on the line a couple minutes, all right? Thanks.
Well, they're telling us that after yesterday's surgery, he's expected to be out for 6 weeks. Now, that creates a very interesting dilemma for the coaching staff, because if you put him on IR, he's done for the season. That's it. Case closed. Goodbye. You could use the temporary IR spot on him. Now, Each team only gets one of those, and then he's gone for half the season, and then makes it back. I don't know. I mean, depending upon what the deal is with that hand, is that something you'd want to consider doing? Usually, and again, we've only had this rule in effect with the NFL since last season, I think you'd like to save that for a guy who you're absolutely convinced is going to be a very important part of your team. And, I mean, look, Terrell Thomas is a great example. The Giants need to figure out if he can play now during the preseason. And maybe he would even be a candidate to buy some extra time for him so that they could put him on that temporary IR for half a season and then bring him back for the second half when maybe they'll need fortification at cornerback. So do you burn that spot on David Deal and then you've got to make a decision on Terrell Thomas? Does he make the team or does he get cut? There will be no middle ground if you use the spot on David Deal. So I don't know that they want to do that. And I don't think they're going to want to cut David Deal, quite frankly, because he is versatile. He is experienced. He has won before. He's still a good guy to have around in the locker room. I suspect they're going to try to carry him on the 53, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to. Over the course of the next couple of preseason games, we've got to see who stays healthy and who gets hurt and where else they need fortification.
201-939-4513. Again, the show would never be complete without Lynn in Maryland. Lynn,
you didn't call yesterday. What happened?
So our show wasn't complete.
No.
Right.
No, you're being screened. Alright, am I on speakerphone? I can hear a little feedback. Thank you. Yeah, sounds... Yep, perfect. Alright, name?
No.
No, I don't. No one was allowed to go home. I mean, there were select days.
Right.
There were select days where, like, when they have off. Yeah, they were allowed to go home and spend time with their family. But every night at camp, they stayed at a hotel near here, near the facility, breaking bread, watching film. You know, hanging out in the lobby. Yeah, that existed. But Lynn, keep in mind. I mean, when they were up there in Albany, they were in a dorm. So they had their own rooms, but they had like common areas, and you had like four or five guys who were in one dorm room, and so the camaraderie was a lot greater in regard to everybody going into their own hotel rooms in that dorm atmosphere. It's just different.
Yes. All right. I'm gonna put you on hold. The hosts are gonna get to you soon. Yeah, you're
going to
be on there.
No, what's going to happen is the practice schedules in terms of when they can use shells, when they can use full pads, how much contact can go on, that all changes once training camp officially ends. No, I don't imagine that they will either, but once that is complete and they start preparations for the Cowboys, you can bet that things are going to pick up. I will say this, Len, as you probably have noticed, and it wasn't like this when you and I were kids, but the way the NFL has now constructed the preseason schedule, they're trying to give teams as much time as possible between those final cuts and the opening regular season game. And so you'll notice everybody's playing like on Thursday night or Friday night. They're not even waiting to the weekends anymore. That's a change that's only happened, the last 5 or 6 years. And, okay, but what that does, yes, it's good on the backside of the preseason, but it's really bad for all these coaches and all these players and all these trainers between preseason games 3 and 4 because that turnaround is brutal.
Yeah,
And so you got to rob Peter to pay Paul, if I can steal the phrase. And so they're more concerned with getting that extra time on the back end than they are between those other two preseason games. But it does cause some significant problems with practice time and with healing time for these guys.
We got to keep the lines open for other callers, but you can go to Giants.com and listen, or download the mobile app and listen.
Well, right now,
we'll just make sure you're off speakerphone. All
right, right now, I will tell you, I'm not 100% sure whether or not Tom Coughlin keeps them in the hotel for the next week until the Patriots game is over, or if some of the veterans are allowed to go home. I don't know that.
I think they go home. We don't know for sure, but I think they go home today. That's my opinion. We don't know for sure.
Okay. All right. It's Joe, right? Correct. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. The host will get to you in a couple of minutes. I just hear some background noise, so if you could turn that down a little bit. All right, thanks.
Hey, yeah. So far today, 22 clicks to the gallery on FanGate.
Oh, conversion rate. It has to go up now, right?
Well,
how many people visited?
Yeah, well, it's 22 of 2,000, so less than
1%.
Less than 1%.
Just a bit.
Thanks, Lynn. We appreciate your call. Paul, I mean, you know, I think rivalry in professional sports is one of the greatest things, okay? And you know, there's and it comes and goes. It doesn't always stay. Like, you know, the Heat and Knicks rivalry was so intense at that point in time.
Sure.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens rivalry still exists. I'm hoping this NBA season, the Knicks and Nets kind of create something fun, you know. But I don't sense a rivalry between the Giants and the Jets. I feel like the Jets kind of have this chip on their shoulder, and they feel like, you know, they're the little brother that never gets the respect, that it will never be as good. And the Giants are kind of like, okay. And not to say that this MetLife Snoopy Trophy isn't important. I think it is. I think it is for, you know, kind of bragging rights. But I think it's more important for the Jets players than it is for the Giants players. Agree or disagree?
Well, indeed, you have to understand now, I've been at this a long time, and there was a time where this rivalry, albeit a preseason rivalry, was as ferocious as anything around here. And I know that's hard for you to believe, but it really was. Back in the 60s and the 70s, even into the 80s, and I think it finally started to water itself down a little bit after the Giants won that second Super Bowl in the 1990 season, because it was like, okay, the Jets got theirs in 69. The Giants now have two. The Jets aren't all that good. The Giants are dominant. They've got Bill Parcells, and it's like, okay, you know what? Now that the Giants have their two Super Bowls, they don't need to prove anything anymore. The organization is now a winner. They were not two organizations trying to climb up the same mountain to become champions. The Giants organization totally separated themselves from the mediocrity that is the New York Jets when they won those two Super Bowls under Bill Parcells. And since that time, the rivalry has consistently watered down. Obviously, since the mid-80s as well, the Jets have shared Giant Stadium with the Giants, now MetLife Stadium with the Giants. That also contributed to it, because when you had the Giants on this side of the river and the Jets were playing over at Chase Stadium, there was a definite split there in a lot of ways. And I know it sounds stupid. It's like, well, they only play in a different building. But no, there was a definite mentality of they're the New Yorkers. They're the people from Long Island. That's the young rowdy group. And here's the Giants over here in Jersey in the suburbs. First class, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The old school. And there was heat. There was a lot of heat. But you're right. It's gone now. I miss it a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. I miss it. I mean, hell, just think about this for a second. And I know it's way before your time. But 1970, the Giants got Frank Tarkenton at quarterback. The Jets have Joe Namath at quarterback. And these two teams are going at it because the Jets had just won a Super Bowl. The Giants, you know, at that point were kind of in the down after being a decade removed from being one of the NFL's elite. And the hatred and bad blood was all over the back pages of the New York tabloids. That's just not the case anymore.
Right. That's what I said. I mean, you know, it comes and goes, and I get it. You know, it's not always. I mean, the Cowboys and the Washington Redskins, I feel, has always been there. The Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears is always. I've always said this. I think the NFL needs to have a rivalry week, where they play. That needs to be implemented in their schedule.
Well, the one good thing the commissioner's done over the course of the last several years now is to make sure that the games end in your division. He's done everything he can do with the permutations to tell the schedule makers, look, you're going to end the regular season with as many divisional games as you possibly can have. And that was A, to increase the rivalries, and then B, because chances are mathematically that those games will mean more. And he didn't want any more of the Jets backing into the playoffs like they did 3 years ago when they played a bunch of teams that didn't care and mailed them in as if they were August preseason games. And so check one up for the commissioner there. I don't always agree with what Commissioner Goodell does, but that I thought was an outstanding move to help the fan base of the NFL.
Again, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for another 10 minutes. You want to get in on the show, 201. Wow, the show's flown by. 201-939-4513. Also, follow us on Twitter, at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. And we've got a great new website up on Giants.com. Giants.com/Big Blue Kickoff Live. So make sure you...
You know what's cool about that?
What is?
I gotta add this because Nile, who's in charge of our website here at the Giants facility, has told me that they try to archive these shows as quickly as possible, maybe within a half hour or so after the show's over. So we know we have a lot of fans who are west of the Mississippi, Anita. A lot of Giants fans transplanted. A lot of them are out there in California. And hey, I get that. At 6:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, it might be a little too early for them to listen in. And, you know, I feel good for them that they're able to archive these shows now, and they always put them up on that Big Blue Kickoff Live page. I think it's within 20 minutes or a half hour after the show is done. So, you know, you still have an opportunity. If you're west of the Mississippi, you can still sleep. You can still have your breakfast, read your morning paper, and then check out the archive show, which at that point is only going to be a couple of hours old. And even though you can't make a phone call to us, there may be something that we talked about that might be of interest.
201-939-4513. Let's try to get as many calls in as we can before we do sign off. And we have Shakes calling in from Maryland. Shakes, welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Shakes, you and Len got to get together someday, man. You're both down there in Maryland. You got to get on the phone and do a little conference call with us. That's kind of the way it is, to be honest with you, right now.
Yes, they don't win nothing. They especially with the Rex Ryan era, they it's like they want attention. It's like they the little kid, like, hey, look at me, look at me. While the Giants are just like, hey, we just win. We just win. Like, oh, dear, this is, we just win. Also, with the robbery, like, I like that idea, Anita, the robbery week. And I think our robbery is silly, maybe because I hate their guts. I think it's silly, because America was Better Land 1 and 2, and all the rest of the rivalries that we had over the years with them. So I think that's all our main rivalry.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead, Shakes. I was just going to say, it's interesting that you think it's Philadelphia, because in talking to a number of the Giants players, to them it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
See, I don't like them neither, but I hate them way more than I hate Dallas.
There is more bad blood in that locker room amongst the Giants players for the Cowboys than any other organization in the NFL.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with Jerry Jones and the attitude that he permeates from top to bottom in that building. I don't think anybody calls the Cowboys America's team anymore outside of Texas.
No, they do.
They do?
Yeah, I hear.
All right. Well, Pugh had more positive plays than negative plays against the Colts in his pro debut, and the Giants feel confident enough that he's got the mentality to handle this. And so he's going to get a shot now over the next 2 weekends to prove that he's ready for the Cowboys as the starting right tackle. And he better be, because if Anthony Spencer is off of that knee injury, he'll be coming loaded for bear. And so, you know, the Giants don't have much choice right now.
Let's go to Dallas. We have Pete standing by. Pete, welcome.
That is correct.
Ooh, that's a great question. Pete, thanks for the phone call.
Wow. You know, going into the camp, I thought that Dallas's offensive line was the worst in the division, followed closely maybe by Philadelphia's. And right now, I'm not sure. I'm really not. I mean, this Giants offensive line has numbers. We don't know about the level of play that they're going to put forth. But we do know they have numbers. Again, I think Cordell's going to be okay at center. I think Pugh, he's going to make some rookie mistakes, but I think he's going to hold down that right tackle spot. That's why he was drafted in the first round. But as a whole, how good is that offensive line going to be? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. I just don't know the answer to that right now. I do think it is a question.
Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome.
Hello, Joe. How are you? Whoa, you want to cut Nassib? You want to cut Nassib? They just drafted him. Oh, you want to IR him? So you want to get the kid hurt and put him on IR? Oh, okay. You understand though that when a guy goes to IR, he's not allowed to practice with the team for the season. So that's kind of a lost year for him then. Well, I think there are some very interesting decisions to be made at the back of this depth chart. And I'll be honest with you. There are 2 weeks left in the preseason. And guys like Patterson and Njomo are fighting uphill for their lives because they're on the bubble. And if they can do what they think they can do, and maybe if some other guys don't get it done or get hurt or nicked up, maybe they'll make the 53.
It's an interesting debate to have, I'll tell you that.
I mean, here's the thing that really puzzles me about Njomo. You know, Tom says you have to practice well to earn snaps in a game. Well, Njomo's not doing that right now, so he's not really earning the snaps against the first and second teamers. But yet, what he's done in the games against the third teamers is clearly impressive. So do you say, okay, we abandon the philosophy of earning snaps in practice and just give Njomo a chance to play against some of the second teamers against the Jets because you need to see what he's got against better competition? Would you consider doing that, Tom Coughlin? Would you consider maybe shelving your principles about earning snaps in practice because you just have to see what this kid has? That's a tough question. Because remember, as a head coach, you really hate to treat players differently. You have a handle on the locker room. You have a way that things have to get done. You set examples for these guys. And if all of a sudden you allow a guy who has not done a whole lot in practice to get better quality snaps in a game, what have you done to your own coaching philosophy?
Mike Farmer just tweeted us saying, you guys actually let him say go Cowboys on the show. Totally unacceptable. Oh.
Hey, you know what?
Look, we let him.
Oh, my God. I'm going to let that one go.
Okay. Last call before we do sign off. We go to Josh calling in from California. Josh, welcome. You're our last call. Make it a good one.
Hi. Hi, Paul. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hi.
Well, right now he's day-to-day with the bruised shoulder, and as we told you earlier, the trainers have decided to shut him down for a few days and see if they can get that bruise squared away. Now, whether or not he plays against the Jets, I'm thinking no right now. He hasn't been out there to practice for several days, so I'm going to say he does not play against gangrene. However, there's still a few days to go before that following Thursday game against the Patriots, and I think they probably would like to. Again, if the trainers say it's okay, I think they'd like to get DeMontre Moore snaps in New England. And then, of course, you know, before you know it, the Dallas game is right around the corner.
I have one last question for you before we do sign off today. Again, practice is at 1 o'clock. More than likely it will be inside because the weather here in New Jersey is absolutely horrific. Although, keep in mind, it is not open to the public. Yesterday was the last day that Giants fans could come out and watch training camp. Players will be made available to the media around 11:40 today. We'll talk to a number of those guys. Make sure you tune in to Giants at Giants for all that information. And again, just a reminder, MSG, the Plus show, the Plus station, is Giants Training Camp Live. And that's today, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Mike Crispino will be hosting with Roman Oben. I think you're going to make an appearance on the show.
Right. And you.
And I will have two interviews for the show, one with Adrian Tracy and the other one with Dan Connor.
And this is our final show of the training camp series, by the way. This is show number 20. Training camp officially ended yesterday, but we are going to have a show for you tonight. And then just stay tuned for the regular season shows because we've got a whole bunch of stuff planned for you.
Yeah. So really quick, before we do sign off, the one question I had for you today, Paul, and again, we thank the callers who called in. I mean, we just love the audience participation. That's what we're here for. So keep them coming throughout the season. But, Paul, talk about the fact that now this offensive line has taken a step back because of the injuries. Going into the season, the biggest concern and question mark for David Wilson is pass protection, keeping Eli healthy. Now my concern is, because now the offensive line has taken a step back. Now the concern for David Wilson and his ability to block and his ability to read defenses and his ability to really distinguish the blitz packages that are coming. Now, does this hurt him in any way in regard to less playing time? Because even more so now, they're going to be concerned about him being out there on the playing field, helping to protect Eli Manning.
Well, I think it just puts a bigger onus on his shoulders to prove that he can get that job done. And quite honestly, Anita, I'm going to take you one worse. You want another worry here? How about the fact that Brandon Myers in the first two preseason games has done, I don't know what word I want to use here. How about a less than adequate job blocking himself? And so the Giants are not getting very good blocking.
But Paul, that's not a surprise. That was his biggest negative criticism coming into the Giants.
The hope was
Brandon
that
Brandon Myers is not a blocking tight end. Myers is a receiving tight end.
Okay, but the hope was that he would be adequate. He's been less than adequate.
Well,
and that's not good. And Adrian Robinson has not blocked up to his potential at 6'4", 270 pounds either. So that's an issue.
How soon, what's the timetable with Henry Hanoski? Because obviously when Henry Hanoski gets healthy and he's back at fullback, then you get Bear Pasco back on the line as a more distinguished blocking tight end.
Bingo. And that's really what the Giants are kind of hoping to see from Henry. He's been out there doing drills with the trainers on the side. He still believes he's got a chance for opening day. But to this point, while Tom Coughlin said he's doing well out there, nobody is willing to commit to him to play week one against Dallas. And, you know, that's a scary thing because, as we talked about with JPP, you got to start thinking about, well, do you want to pup a guy like that? Marcus Coon's been working around with the trainers on the side now for several weeks. He looks really, really good. Anita, we've seen him out there through those drills. It's like, what do you do? Marcus Coon is a very talented young player, very raw, very little football experience. The Giants would love to get him into this lineup. Problem is, with all the glut of defensive tackles and defensive linemen they have, can they really afford to give Marcus Coon a spot on the 53 if he doesn't take any preseason snaps? Maybe he's going to wind up having to go pup for 6 weeks too. Even though physically he may be capable or at least close of coming off, they may not be able to do that. So, you know, you raise a very interesting question. It's one that I'm sure Tom Coughlin is losing sleep over. What do you do with Hanoski? What do you do with JPP? What do you do with Coon? And then how does this all affect the Giants' pass protection schemes? Because we know they want David Wilson to be out there two-thirds of the time, but they may not be able to do that because of all of these other issues. This is why coaches get paid the big bucks.
Again, he's Paul Dottino. I'm Anita Marks. It has been an absolute blast. Who's back tomorrow? Are you back on tomorrow?
No, it's John and Lance tomorrow.
Okay, so make sure you tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. And as he said, you've got John Schmoke and Lance Meadow with you tomorrow. And so have a great day, everybody. Stay tuned to Giants at Giants.com for all the latest information.